Joining me in the studio right now is the Sentinel Property Group CEO, Warren Ebbett. Good morning to you, Warren.
Good morning, Katie. Another beautiful day in Darwin.
And good to have you in the studio as well and meet you in person. Warren, you and I have spoken on numerous occasions about some of the issues since taking over Casuarina Square Shopping Centre, some of the issues that have been experienced when it comes to crime and antisocial behaviour. But it looks as though the dogs being there and some of the other security measures that are in place have made a bit of a difference.
Katie, they've made a massive difference. In the 12 months to December, December just gone, yep, we've got our antisocial behaviour down 74%. Now, there's still a lot to do, but we've, our security bill is $2.3 million a year, which works out to be $45 per square metre. Now, according to the Property Council of Australia, the average in Queensland for security of a centre the size of ours is $7 a square metre.
Wow.
So ours is six times. We own another similar size shopping centre in Mackay, Caneland Shopping Centre. And while in the wet season we'll average about 300 reports a day in our centre where we have to move people on. In Caneland, they don't know the last time they did one. So it's a bit boring for security guards down there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So 300 a day?
A day, yes, 300.
Is that currently?
Yeah.
Wow. And then in Canelands, you're not even worrying about that?
No, as a matter of fact, when they open the doors up there every morning, they invite the homeless in. Because they come in, they give them a coffee because they don't have any issues down there.
Yeah.
Now, it's not to say there's no crime in Mackay, but the Darwin is, we're a major investor here. It has real problems, and I think one of the great things is that it's being recognised nationally, and we've seen the Prime Minister fly up to Alice Springs for half an hour or whatever it was, and they're throwing some money at it. I don't think money will solve the long-term problems. It's a deeper issue than that. But people recognise that there's serious issues that need serious action. And at Casuarina Square, we want to welcome all genuine shoppers. You know, it's a family shopping centre, as I've said millions of times. It's, every man, woman and child in Darwin goes there 5.1 times a month.
Yep.
On Boxing Day at Casuarina Square, we had over 30% of the entire population of Darwin in our centre.
It's crazy, isn't it?
So it's important that people see it as a clean, safe, enjoyable place to come for their families.
Mm.
Now, we want everyone to enjoy it, but we will not tolerate the troublemakers. And while we have a lot of move on, what happens now with our security people, they'll stop them at the door.
Yeah, right.
We have conditions of entry. If you don't have shoes on your feet, you're not allowed in. And if you're not dressed appropriately. We know it's a warm climate and you've got to allow thongs and shorts and singlets. We understand that. But you've have to be clean and tidy. So our security people just turn around at the door and not allow them in the centre.
And Warren, I know that the Northern Territory government said not too long ago, or towards the end of last year, that they were making changes to trespass initiatives and the trespass notices. Has that made much of a difference at Casuarina Square, or have you seen any change at this point in terms of being able to issue, I'm assuming, trespass notices?
Katie, I've got to embarrassingly admit that I don't live in Darwin, so I'm not here.
We won't hold that against you.
And hence, I only got the 92 on the most influential people, but we'll work on moving up the ladder for next year. So I'm not 100% up with all of the laws, but I know there has been SORT, which is an antisocial behaviour thing, which the government, which comes under the police, and that has been fantastic. So, there's no silver bullet. It's all the one percenters, and I know the government are certainly trying hard and put in measures, and the police are helpful. One of the things we have to be careful of, as things improve at Caneland, that they don't move the police away and say, well, it's been solved here,
At Casuarina, you mean?
Yes.
Warren, did you anticipate, I do just want to ask, when you took over the shopping centre at Casuarina, did you anticipate or did you realise just how difficult some of those antisocial issues were going to be?
It's not a surprise to us. We make money, Katie, by buying things where there's a problem. If there's no problem, everything's going great, then there's no discount. So we saw that as an opportunity, and it has worked out that way. There's been a lot of little things that we've done. You know, we've got rid of a lot of the seating benches where people would you know, have too much to drink, have a celebration and lay down and go to sleep. So we're gradually removing benches, just putting them in seats, you know, out the front of Coles where there's benches and people would lay down there. We've shifted those, removed those and put in other benches that aren't very comfortable to sit on. But, you know, you could sit there with your children, you know, or friends while you're waiting for someone, but you're not going to go to sleep there because with the design you just fall off on the floor. So it's a lot of things like that that we're doing. So not a surprise. I suppose it's disappointing when you hear some of the troubles that people have. And, you know, we have a gathering point for staff there where a couple of times a night towards the end of the shopping day that security will escort people, staff, down to their cars. Now, that's not something that you should have to do.
No.
And I don't think anyone would believe it's acceptable. So but that was all in the budget, and we're working with it. And you know, we will close off every entry into Casuarina Square Shopping Centre after dark. Now, that's a fairly expensive task.
Yeah, right.
So all of the driveways, all the ways in, because we are sick of people using our undercover car park as a toilet, which costs us $10,000 a month. I don't think it's up to us to clean that out. So we will close it off. Now,
when are you going to do that, or when are you going to start doing that?
Well, we've already started on measuring it up. It's, you know, there's a lot of entrances there, Katie.
Yeah.
So we've got to get them all measured up and all priced up. And so it will take some time. Now, we're fully aware, before someone starts ringing in, that it's a cyclone shelter. We're aware of that. But we have staff on site 24 hours a day. So if ever there is a cyclone warning and it has to be used as a cyclone shelter, it'll all be opened up. So that is not an issue. But we're not going to let people use Casuarina Square as a toilet. And we're hopeful that if they don't sleep there overnight, well, then they're not there of the next morning to cause more problems.
It's a pretty unprecedented thing to have to do, isn't it? You know, to totally close it all off after hours.
Well, when you see some of the things that are happening in the city here, they're unprecedented. You know, unprecedented times require unprecedented actions. Now, I know by us stopping the issues at Casuarina Square doesn't make the bad element become good. It just shifts it somewhere else. But as a shopping centre owner, you know, we have a responsibility to our shoppers and the tenants and their staff to provide a clean, safe environment. So we'll do whatever we can, and we'll spend whatever we have to spend to get that done. And they can move somewhere else, and that's someone else's problem. You know, well, it really comes down to the government. That's what we pay our taxes and that for. So we'll just look after our properties. But it's heading the right way. A 74% reduction in 1 year is substantial. And you know, the canine patrols, and while it might seem a heavy-handed approach, we have had a lot of phone calls and letters from people saying how much better they feel there.
Yeah. Now, well, and that's the main thing. Yeah. Shoppers need to feel safe while they are there. I don't mind if there's the canine patrols there, and then I know that, you know, that everybody's in a safe environment inside the shopping centre, but particularly for people that work there.
Yes. Well, we were there the other day, and one of the dogs, Chopper, he's just an awful-looking thing. But
Scary-looking.
Oh, just horrid. But when we were there talking with the security guards, and he just lays down and goes to sleep. They said he knows when there's a threat. Yeah, kids will pat the dog and he wags his tail, but they know the troublemakers.
Yeah.
So, you don't get things 100% right 100% of the time, but it's going the right way. We'll end up putting another dog on there. Outside. It's heading the right way. We're very happy with the way it's going, Katie.
Warren, we are going to have to get ready to wrap up, but I do want to talk to you briefly as well about your plans for student accommodation in the Northern Territory or in Darwin. Where are you at with that?
we haven't made a lot of progress. In order to build student accommodation, you need land. We have had some discussions with the government, and we haven't got a positive result at this time, but we'll continue to talk, and I'm not good at begging, and I'm probably not going to start that, but we did have a very good meeting with the Lord Mayor yesterday with Con. You know, it's an urgent situation. Now, for people who don't know Sentinel, and some people mightn't care, we don't do residential. That isn't our business. But there is a desperate need for accommodation in Darwin. If the economy is going to grow, then you've got to have somewhere for them to live. And there's not enough workers here now. We've been told by a number of people that all the builders are flat out. So you've got to do something else. So we're bringing in modular housing. We do intend to do what's called build-to-rent, BTR, which is very big in the States. They're starting to do that, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane. We do want to start doing that up here because there needs to be some quality accommodation, affordable accommodation delivered ASAP. So we'd like to see the government on board. They have told us they're looking at it and doing reports, but there's nothing happening.
What would you need, though? Would you need them to provide the land?
Well, at the end of the day, the rent that has to be charged is based upon the cost. So, the government has a problem. Now, we're not after charity. We're a commercial business.
Yeah.
But at the moment, with the costs of construction here, I don't think you'd go and buy a block of land at what someone would say is appropriate value and build it and make money. Now, if you can't make money, you just can't get financed. Simple as that.
And so are you proposing free land?
Well, whether it's a lease or something. Now,
okay.
There was a very good report, and I'm happy to send it to you, done by the Property Council of Australia in the last month, which talks about the benefits of students, where they spend over $4,000 a month. So if you think, you get another 5,000 students here spending $5,000 a month, what that does to the economy. Now, the government get taxes and everything else. So we're happy to work with the government to achieve it.
Yeah. So you're not asking for a freebie. You're looking at maybe leasing the land or something like that, or some kind of commercial agreement.
We're happy to sit down with the feasibility and see what works, Katie. But if the government says, well, we don't want any accommodation, that's fine.
Well, and I know that down at the waterfront, my understanding is that some of that land has been provided to a commercial, or it's been put out for a tender process down at the waterfront to provide that accommodation or a hotel down there. So I don't know whether that sets any kind of precedent in terms of, some kind of agreement being made.
Well, they were looking, I think, and they did have a six-star hotel they're going to put there, I think, by Landbridge, but then COVID sort of ruined
that.
No,
there's another one, block of land. Down at the waterfront.
I think we need some accommodation right in the city.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, with the new Charles Dutton campus, you need accommodation for students. You need accommodation for workers because there will be cleaners, there'll be cooks, there'll be security. So you need it. You need it in the city?
Yeah, I guess I'm not getting at that land being the land that's provided for student accommodation, but I suppose what I'm getting at is that if they've gone into some kind of, or if they're set to go into some kind of commercial arrangement with a developer for something like a hotel, you would think that they'd be prepared to go into some kind of negotiations when it comes to student accommodation as well.
You would think. Yes, that sounds reasonable, but I'm not aware of any of it yet, and we're here quite regularly, and I know the government's got a lot of issues on it. I know that. But, just looking into things and doing more research, well, there's nothing under construction for student accommodation, so whatever's happened in the past hasn't been successful.
Mm.
So, the definition of stupidity is to continue doing the same thing, expect a different result. Action needs to be taken.
Well, Warren Ebbett, we really appreciate your time this morning. CEO of Sentinel Property, thank you so very much for coming into the studio and having a chat with us.
Terrific, Katie. Look forward to doing it anytime.
Thank you. Bye.